Walking into the lion's den, the powerful and hungry eyeing me up from head to foot and back, what am I good for? Walking into the lion's den, facing my fears, facing my frailty, facing my weakness, facing my mortality, what is my life good for? Walking into the lion's den, confronting what diminishes, challenging what devours, calling out what deceives, constraining what dominates, what can the Lord do through me? Walking from the lion's den, protected, treasured, vindicated, and ready for anything. What can I do now? Walking from the lion's den, inspiring others, changing perspectives, overturning understanding. This is God working in my life. Well, good morning, everyone. On a particularly warm day, it has to be said. I got up and out the house at 8:30 this morning. I thought, crikey, I was maybe in the wrong country. It was warm already. A warm welcome to all who are with us this morning. For any visitors that are with us, I hope you feel especially welcome. And a wee mention to those that are listening online or have received the CD of the service. Today is a special day in the life of our congregation, as Adam and Connor, later on in the service, will come forward and make a profession of faith and join us as a full member of our community here in Colts Parish Church. And I'm very excited about that, and I hope you can sense that too as we join them in their special moment. The order of service has the intimations that you need for the coming week. I'm just going to leave them with you to read. I head off this afternoon for 10 days with the Army Cadets to do my duty as Padre. It's not to say that I'm away. I am contactable either through Graham, who's got my mobile number, or the office that's got my mobile number, or by email as normal. I will be working. It's just my desk will be in Gairloch Head, overlooking Fast Lane, rather than either along at the Kirk Centre or up in the manse. So please, if there is anything that you need to talk to me about, please just get in touch one of those ways. As I say, I'll leave you to read everything else that's in the order of service there for you this morning. We come this morning into God's presence. We come to be reminded he is always there, to be leaned on and trusted. Let's come together, let us worship God, and we stand to sing hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness.
Thank you.
we'll carry on as we come to God in prayer. Gracious and living God, we thank you that as we come to worship, you are here waiting to greet us. Speak with us and teach with us. Meet us now, go with us always. You are here as you always are here, week by week as we come to worship you. You are here as you are everywhere, at every moment, in every place, on every occasion, watching over us as a father watches over his children. Day by day, you have been by our sides, recognized or unrecognized, remembered or forgotten, obeyed or disobeyed, acknowledged or taken for granted. Though our response to you has been varied, our commitment uncertain, and our attitudes mixed, you have always been the same, ever faithful, always loving, always true. Forgive us for the way we have responded, failing to appreciate how much we owe to you, and taking your love as ours by right. Forgive us for so often forgetting you, disobeying your commandments, abandoning our faith. Help us to love you as much as you love us, to be as true to you as you are always true, and to rejoice in your living presence not only now, but in every moment of our lives. Meet with us now, go with us always, and hear us as we join our hearts and voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Amen. Let's stand and sing our next hymn, which is Build Up. We're going to sing Build Up together. It's in the order of service on a sheet of paper.
Single ways you can build up onto. reading this morning is the well-known story of Daniel in the pit of lions, or the lion's den, as I was taught it. It can be found on page 864 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles, Daniel chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. So they went to see the king and said, King Darius, may your majesty live forever. All of us who administer your empire, the supervisors, the governors, the lieutenant governors, and the other officials, have agreed that your majesty should issue an order and enforce it strictly. Give orders that for 30 days no one be permitted to request anything from any god or from any human being except from your majesty. Anyone who violates this order is to be thrown into a pit filled with lions. So let your majesty issue this order and sign it, and it will be in force, a law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. And so King Darius signed the order. When Daniel learnt that the order had been signed, he went home. In an upstairs room of his house, there were windows that faced towards Jerusalem. There, just as he had always done, he knelt down at the open windows and prayed to God three times a day. When Daniel's enemies observed him praying to God, all of them went together to the king to accuse Daniel. They said, Your Majesty, you signed an order that for the next 30 days, anyone who requested anything from any god or from any human being except you would be thrown into a pit filled with lions. The king replied, Yes, a strict order, a law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, does not respect your majesty or order or obey the order you issued. He prays regularly three times a day. When the king heard this, he was upset and did his best to find some way to rescue Daniel. He kept trying until sunset. Then Daniel's enemies came back to the king and said to him, Your majesty knows that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no order which the king issues can be changed. So the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested, and he was thrown into the pit filled with lions. He said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve so loyally, rescue you. A stone was put over the mouth of the pit, and the king placed his own royal seal and the seal of his noblemen on the stone, so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to the palace and spent a sleepless night without food or any form of entertainment. At dawn, the king got up and hurried to the pit. When he got there, he called out anxiously, Daniel, servant of the living God, was the God you serve so loyally able to save you from the lions? Daniel answered, May your majesty live forever. God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions so that they would not hurt me. He did this because he knew that I was innocent and because I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders for Daniel to be pulled up out of the pit. So they pulled him up and saw that he had not been hurt at all, for he trusted God. Then the king gave orders to arrest all the men who had accused Daniel, and they were thrown, together with their wives and their children, into the pit filled with lions. Before they even reached the bottom of the pit, the lions pounced on them and broke all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to the people of all nations, races, and languages on earth, Greetings. I command that throughout my empire, everyone should fear and respect Daniel's God. He is a living God, and he will rule forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his power will never come to an end. He saves and rescues. He performs wonders and miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from being killed by the lions. Amen.
Thank you, Bill, for reading that story to us. Our hymn is 166, Lord of All Hopefulness, hymn 166. Introduced to our reading, he introduced it as that well-known story, and indeed Daniel and the Lion's Den is a well-known story, but do you know it is so seldom read in church? It only appears in once of the lectionary cycles, and so we don't often get a chance to actually think about what it means and what the story is telling us. It's a story we know well, I think, more from our Sunday school days than perhaps from reading our children Bible stories. But here we are with Daniel, and Daniel has found himself in a difficult situation. The courtiers of the new young king plot to bring him down and as one of the 120 governors that King Darius has appointed. Daniel had been good at his job, and others were jealous of him. And so they go to the young king with a plan that they hope will bring about Daniel's downfall. Daniel was a faithful man, and he was very loyal to God. They persuade the king to issue a decree that no one should worship any one person or God other than him. And they know that Daniel will struggle to obey this decree. And they're right. Daniel is dismayed by the decree and does what he always does in times of difficulty. He prayed to God. And he lands himself in trouble as a result. The king wants to help him, but a rule is a rule, and he must be punished like anyone else. Thrown into a den filled with lions, everyone, including the king, assumes that that will be the end of Daniel. Everyone, that is, except perhaps Daniel. Daniel survives his night in the den, saved, we are told, by God, who kept the mouths of the lions shut. Daniel's miraculous survival brings about the demise of those who accused him and their families. and the king is overjoyed that his favourite governor is safe and well. And as the Message translation puts it, King Darius published this proclamation to every race, colour and creed on earth. Peace to you, abundant peace. I decree that Daniel's God shall be worshipped and feared in all parts of my kingdom. He is the living God, world without end. His kingdom never falls. His rule continues eternally. He is a saviour and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. He saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Now that is a great message. He is the living God, world without end. His kingdom never falls. His rule continues eternally. He is a saviour and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. This is the message of hope that we can bring to the world at this particular time in our world's history. Goodness knows the world could do with a message of hope in so many dark places. Daniel is a brave man. He knew the possible consequences of his actions, and yet for God, he was willing to defy the decree of the king. The lion's den of Daniel is a wonderful story, a story of bravery and loyalty, trust and faith. Who of us would ever dare to be a Daniel, confident enough in God who would protect him when the door of the den was opened? But there's more than this to the story. We do still use the phrase entering the lion's den to refer to taking on a mammoth challenge against insurmountable odds, but the phrase has lost its original connection from Daniel's era, where the king's court was often referred to as the lion's den, a place of power, danger, and intrigue. And with that in mind, we can read this story as a metaphor for believers confronting the powers of the world and trusting they will survive that confrontation with everyone else is hanging on to a different set of values. There is a rebalance at work here of holding on to hope and trust, enabling the promise to rebalance our neighbourhood, our community, and our world. The king, bound up by his sampans and rules, appearing weak and easily led, in the cold, hard light of the new day, does come round to realising what is just and righteous. And he releases Daniel, for he recognises he'd been led into a corner he could not get out of easily, but he broke his own rules in order for justice to be done. So this story is not just a rebalancing of the ordering of things, it's also restorative. Daniel gives this restorative gift to us, that we too can turn back to God and restore our relationship. God's word has a battle on its hands to be heard in today's world, in a world where selfishness and self-interest appear to be the ruling principles. But God does have something up his sleeve. He has a mighty army of Christians and others to help him. Indeed, he does. The world needs us to speak up where we hear and see injustice. The world needs us to speak up against the tide of hateful speech and growing fear of the other. Last week I shared with you some of my more theological thinking about why we should respond to the refugee and migrant crisis. At the heart of what I said was that we respond because the people caught up in the crisis are people of God too, made in his image. Ignore them and we ignore God's children. We ignore God. When I was in Greece, I met a family living in one of the camps and got to know them sitting on the floor of their tent, a tent that they shared with another family, 11 people in a tent the size of the manse kitchen, split in two by a curtain. This family had very little, but what little they had, they shared with my friend Katie and I. And we chatted over tea and coffee and ate dates and nuts, which we later discovered came from rations that they had been given. Mahmoud and Dua came from Syria, from a town called Hama. Mahmoud had run a successful market stall. They'd had a good life until the troubles began and Hama was no longer safe. for Mahmud in particular, as he refused to get involved. And so they took what they saw as the only option available to them. They packed their bags and fled, eventually reaching the Turkish coastline, and then they made the journey across the water to Chios, hopeful that eventually they would be allowed to leave the island and make their way to somewhere safe in mainland Europe. Mahmud and Dua's story is typical of most Syrian migrants and refugees, innocent people taking the only course of action they can to keep their family safe. They didn't deserve to be in that awful camp. Their four little girls deserve what all little girls deserve, a chance to grow up and prosper and live lives in freedom and peace. Mahmud and Dua faced their lion's den moment, and they put their trust in God to get them through. I promised Dua and Mahmud and their little girls I would keep telling their story, and I will. These people, fellow human beings, all made in the image of God, need our compassion, but they also need us to speak up for them. This week, a certain president comes to visit the United Kingdom, and President Trump is likely to be met with huge protests. His visit is one of the most controversial visits from a world leader in many years. And why? Because of his rhetoric and his actions since coming to power. There are people fearful for their future under his presidency. People of colour, the LGBT community, immigrants and asylum seekers, Muslims. But I have a sense that over the last few weeks, in light of the publicity surrounding the plight of children at the Mexican and American border, that many in the Christian community across the United States have found their voices and have begun to use them. They are speaking up against inhumane separating of children from their parents and against the conditions in which the adults and children are being kept. They are in the moment of being Daniel, doing what is right. Just as Daniel continued to pray, so church leaders and others are speaking out. Some might say that what's happening in the States has got nothing to do with us, it's none of our business, and we should therefore have no right to comment. But I would argue that it is our business when we see and hear of God's children being treated inhumanely. Especially now, the trend worldwide seems to be one of fear of the other, playing a blame game, putting the blame in minorities for what's not working for us. And whilst this trend seems to be playing out politically, it's about humanity. How have we got to this? How have we got to the point where we no longer care about the plight of our fellow human beings? It's time for caring, compassionate people to stand up and say enough is enough, to speak words of love, not hate. There are times to stay quiet and go with the flow, but there are times when, like Daniel, our principles are non-negotiable. There is so much in our world that we need to be alert to and not just let it go by. More than ever, we need to be a people of hope and speak a message of hope in the darkness. Daniel's story is prophetic, especially at this time. His actions are prophetic. And the challenge for us is to be like Daniel, daring to believe and confront a world that often moves in the opposite direction. We have a good news message to share and to keep sharing. It is a message of hope, a hope that God will have the last word, that we can turn the world around to a world where love is the new rule of law. Dare we believe that as we enter the lion's den of speaking up for the marginalized and the vilified, that we might speak a message of love, hope, rebalance, and restoration. What is it we pray each week? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here as in heaven. And from our reading today, the time has come to chorus the words of Darius. Peace to you, abundant peace, I decree that Daniel's God shall be worshipped and feared in all parts of my kingdom. He is the living God, world without end. His kingdom never falls. His rule continues eternally. He is a savior and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. Amen. We continue to worship God, this time through our offering. Let us pray. Faithful God, giver of all gifts, receive our offering this day. Take and use what we offer in both money, time, and talents for the benefit of your kingdom. Help us to freely give what we have and to remain faithful servants today and always. Amen. We stand and sing hymn 191, Do Not Be Afraid, for I have redeemed you.
Thank you.
Today is a special day. We have two people who are joining our church by profession of faith. And having been regular worshippers, both have decided they wish to formally become part of our church family. So I invite Adam and Connor to come forward now. Everybody can see you now. A question for you both. Do you believe the Christian faith into which you were baptized?
I do.
Let us pray. Loving Father, we praise you for our confidence and hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you for our shared life in one church, our one baptism into Jesus Christ, and our experience of your Holy Spirit in fellowship and service. Anoint and cheer us with the abundance of your grace, that we may be always ready to respond to your call, to commit ourselves further in Christian discipleship through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God of love and faithfulness, through water and the Holy Spirit, you claim these servants as your own. Confirm in them the covenant that was sealed in baptism, and send them forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may fulfill their calling as disciples of Jesus Christ and be found blameless in him when he comes with all those who are his own. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I invite everyone who's able to please stand and say together the words of the statement of faith that you should have found inside your order of service in a little insert. In one God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, God is love. We praise God the Father, who created the universe and keeps it in being. He has made us his sons and daughters to share his joy, living together in justice and peace, caring for his world and for each other. We proclaim Jesus Christ, God the Son, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became one of us, sharing our life and death. He made known God's compassion and mercy, giving hope and declaring forgiveness of sin, offering healing and wholeness for all. By his death on the cross and by his resurrection, he has triumphed over evil. Jesus is Lord of life and of all creation. We trust God, the Holy Spirit, who unites us to Christ and gives life to the church, who brings us to repentance and assures us of forgiveness. The Spirit guides us in our understanding of the Bible, renews us in the sacraments, and calls us to serve God in the world. We rejoice in the gift of eternal life. We have sure and certain hope of resurrection through Christ, and we look for his coming again to judge the world. Then all things will be made new, and creation will rejoice in worshipping the Father through the Son, in the power of the Spirit, one God, blessed forever. Amen. Along with everyone, you have professed with us your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In your baptism, God brought you into the household of faith, and in goodness and mercy has shepherded you to this day. We ask now that you pledge yourself to the life of Christian discipleship. And I have these vows to ask. Do you promise to follow Jesus Christ in your daily life?
With God's help, I will seek to follow Christ. And in listening for God's word, in the bringing of bread and prayer, to grow and to close, he has the years past.
And do you promise to be a faithful member of the Christian community?
With God's help, I will share in the worship and service of the church, and in this I will give generously of what I am and what I have.
And do you promise to take your part in God's mission in the world?
With God's help, I will witness to Christ wherever I find myself and put my trust and hope in him. I will seek justice
grace and renewing of all life according to God's promise.
Thank you. And I charge to you, the congregation. I charge you, the people of this congregation, to love, encourage, and support these, our brothers in faith, that they may continue to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge and love and of God. If I could ask you to join in the words that are printed in there. With God's help, we will live out our baptism as a loving community in Christ, nurturing one another in faith, upholding one another in prayer, and encouraging one another in service. Defend, O Lord, your servant Adam with your heavenly grace, that he may continually be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit until he comes to your everlasting kingdom. Defend, O Lord, your servant Connor with your heavenly grace, that he may continually be yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit until he comes to your everlasting kingdom. Adam and Connor, it is with real pleasure and delight that we welcome you here as members of Christ Church here in this place. Here there will always be a welcome for you to gather with your friends and family in Christ and to share in his ministry and service. Let us pray. God of all grace, guard these your servants whom you have called to your eternal glory in Christ. Confirm them by your Spirit, sustain them by your word and sacrament, fill them with all joy in your service, and help them to live by faith, walk in hope, and be renewed in love, until the world reflects your glory, and you are all in all, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And maybe we could welcome them with a round of applause. You can take your seats. Adam and Connor have just received a book all about growing in faith, produced by the Church of Scotland, some of which we've been working through over the last few weeks as we've met together. Let's close our worship this morning by singing hymn 513, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble, hymn 513. We have worshipped together in hope and trust. We have sung God's praises. We have shared in God's welcome. Now may God's blessing be with us this day, this week, and always.